Psalm 133 is our text today, and if you have been in our ministry for any length of time, then you know that this is one of the key psalms for us, and it's really a great psalm about body life, or we can call community. So we will make an outline here of how we want to approach it and teach on this psalm. It's great. We were in the middle of a great fellowship in Mumbai, India, with about 600 people, with people that came from different parts of India. Every time I go there, I get an Indian map, and I have the pastors write their name, where they live, which area of India that they live in, to keep them in mind, know them personally, share life with them, talk with them a little bit, and they are such sweet people. I mean, you would fall in love with it. Actually, a lot of them are coming here for the June convention. A good number. I didn't count the ones that I heard, maybe 14 or something like that, maybe more. And they very much love Baltimore and the church in Baltimore. So we were in Mumbai, and there we had their conference for that part of the country. Rajasthan, Sikkim, the Maharaj area there, Kashmir, Punjab, Bihar in the east, up towards Bhutan, and these areas that we learn about when we go there and think about these people. And they are passionate. They're like smart. They're passionate. They're like concentrated. They are humble and meek people. And we just enjoyed them very much. So then, after 4 days, we went south to Bangalore, where we have the southern, another like center, and there we had. So I made a little video of those people saying hello to us in Baltimore. So maybe we can play that right now.
To the church in Baltimore, there's a group of us here in South India, and this is the church. This is the conference. Do they love us in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Thank you. Pastor Guru, do you want to translate that? Thank you.
Okay. There is something there, and that is here this morning, that I want you to take notice of, and it's from Psalm 133 and verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So before we go into the psalm this way, I want to talk about people in general, and that there are some people that really are not social and are not interested in really being with other groups of people, with other people, not to mention maybe a group of people. So they might say, I'd rather be by myself. I am a Christian, but I want to stay home. I'm a Christian, but I don't really want to get involved with people because it doesn't work well for me. There are different reasons why that is, but that's been my experience. I find sometimes so we have personal reasons why people do not come to church, or why people haven't discovered how good and how pleasant it is to be together. Because they don't go. They don't want to be there because they withdraw. Maybe they've been hurt in life. Another reason is because, to be honest, sometimes the church is kind of institutionalized. It's more about programs, institutional. I don't know if I get institutionalized. Okay. The handwriting's bad enough, not to mention, like, what is that? How do you spell that? All right, we could have a church where you have more, like, box-like programs and paying people to do things. And maybe, you go there then and you go here then, and it's not so relational. It's more functional by way of programs. But that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about something very enjoyable, something that really happens, something that really touches our hearts and affects our lives. And it's called fellowship. And I know you know that. But I want to say, in some ways, an institutionalized program or organization, you could put here military, maybe your job, you could say, your duty, you could talk about church also, could be something like that. And so people may participate or be involved, but it's not that satisfying. They're looking for something, but they don't know exactly what they're looking for. But it is actually Christ. This is why Christ saved us. He saved us to baptize us into a fellowship. And that the Christian life isn't only loving God with all my heart and mind and my soul and my strength, but loving also my brother and my sister as myself. This is something amazing. And isn't it interesting, like those people in India, we have the same spirit, the same mind, the same teaching, and the same heart and fellowship, and it's very satisfying how good and how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. There's another third reason why people have struggled with it as well, and it is because people are bad. People are, what do we want to say, nasty, bad, difficult. Let's say difficult. You know why I don't want to go? Because people. People are sometimes, they are hard to be with. I'd rather stay away than get in trouble or be criticized or be judged, or people to be angry with me, or frustrated, or the relationship starts well, it's very nice, and so on, and then it goes bad. And I don't want to go through that. I don't want that to happen to me. So there are reasons why people stay away and never discover how good and how pleasant it is. And that's what we want to see in this psalm. Because there's something that God has done in your life and the person sitting next to you that is extraordinary. And that is how we know each other. There is something that God has done for us through Christ, that we have died with Christ, we've been raised with Christ, and we're baptized by Christ into the body of Christ. And that body of Christ is a fellowship, where we are recognizing things about each other that are not difficult. They are true. They are wise. They are edifying. They are encouraging. They are important. Okay? So that's part number one. So turn to your neighbor and just say, hey, how are you doing today? How'd that go down? Did you understand what he was saying? What did he say anyway? Go ahead, talk to your neighbor for a minute. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. We really have to work at how we think. Because when we think with God and we begin to think doctrinally about ourselves and about each other, that produces body life. What I just said is loaded. Let me repeat it. We have to pay attention to how we think, because how I think with God has a lot to do with how I see myself, my identity, or how I see myself, and it has a lot to do with how I see you. When I look at a body member, I don't see you as a project that needs to be fixed. Let me write that down. A person, are they a project to be fixed? No. Car mechanics, when you pull your car into the garage to get fixed, what are they thinking? That it needs to be fixed. What's wrong with it? When a person comes to church, how do you think of them? I don't think of them as a person that they need to be fixed. I think of them as my brother, as my sister. I think of them in Christ. I think of their potential. I think of how they have a heart and a mind, and they have the Holy Spirit. And they really have something. They have these car shows where you take your car and you drive it to the parking lot, and then you lift the hood. And you stand around your car, and you walk around, and you show your car off. That's different from a car mechanic. A car mechanic is like wanting to fix it, and a guy showing off his car is thinking a different way. I want to hear somebody say to me, my car looks great. I want somebody to ask me about the horsepower. I want somebody to look at my car and say it's got potential. I want somebody to see my car and understand what it is. Why am I talking about this? I'm using it as an example of what church life is when we are healthy. That how we think about each other, how we think about our future, how we think about what God is doing. That's called body life. We are not projects to be fixed. Though God knows, and God works on all of us, but we are people that have such a potential, and it's very exciting because of what happens when we are in the presence of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. I'll put in there, whether we are broken or fixed. We are all baptized into one body. Whether I got deep problems in my heart, I've got maybe areas of anxiety or fear or personal sin and disappointments. Maybe somebody has a depression or they're worried about life or whatever it is, if we are a Christian, we've been baptized into the body of Christ. In the mind of God, He has put us into the body of Christ. And that's something we learn, something we make the effort to receive from God. We end up thinking with the mind of God. We make the effort. To be honest, churches oftentimes don't even make the effort. To be honest, they They might just operate as a program. God forbid, and I'm just saying, I grew up in one of those. But nobody knew my name. I didn't feel like anybody cared about me. The priest that was conducting the service, I felt like he had no idea I was even there. And we went through the program, and immediately afterwards, our family just hit the parking lot and left and went home. Okay, that's not body life. Body life is to appreciate what it is that God has done for us in Christ. It's not who are you in your status in society, or how smart are you, or how good looking you are, or how wealthy you are, or where you live, or any of those things. It is that Jesus Christ has given you something, and I am recognizing that. I recognize who you are. You are a new creation. Where is that said in the Bible? Who are we? We are His children. We have been forgiven. We are indwelt by His Spirit. We are called by His name. We have a challenge in front of us. We are learning to live in faith. We have body life. Behold, how good and pleasant it is. Now, when I hear those words, let me make a couple points here before we move on. It says, I made a paper here. What is a community in Christ? People, number one, people are taken seriously. People are taken seriously. I like that. You know what that means? You are important. I'm serious about you in my heart. You are one of God's people. I recognize you. You are precious to God. Number two, we learn to trust people. We learn to trust others. Actually, that's fun. When we are together and we're recognizing and discerning Christ in our lives, and we're learning to recognize the qualities, the character, the qualities that are in people's heart. Not 100% all the time with everybody. It doesn't happen. We are people. And by the way, when I am weak, I find you helping me. When I fail or I don't have a word, you have a word. And you have something to help me. And I need you. I need the body. Remember, God created the universe, and he created, and what was the last thing he made? It was Eve. He made Adam on the sixth day, and he recognized it's not good for him to be alone, so he made Eve. Those two, another word for them is a family. Another word is marriage, family, also community. God made us to have community. Don't hide from it. Don't explain it away. Don't say, I don't need it. We need it. A community will change your life. Community, the right kind, will edify you and discover Christ in you. We will discern it and recognize Christ in you. It's a new way of life. It's powerful. It's really important. Another one here. You learn to depend on others. And that's a good thing. You do. Do we get disappointed sometimes? Did somebody fail us? Yes. Number four, we learn compassion. We care. Is it up on the screen? Yep. Compassion. We learn it. We notice things, other people. The children in India, like, wow, that was so cool. these little kids. I mean, one little girl was so small, and she was quoting Psalm 91. I didn't put that up there because she didn't get through the whole thing. But, man, she was so cute. It was beautiful. Compassion on people that struggle. Compassion on people that have trouble, problems. Compassion on people that are trying to... They're trying to learn in life. Compassion and forgiveness is a way of life. And then the last thing, we learn to rejoice together. Have a good time. Laughter in the cafe. Laughter in the car. Laughter on a mission. Laughter with each other. Rejoicing deep in our hearts. Graduation is coming up over the high school this Saturday. The next Saturday, graduation for MBCNS. Just a time of rejoicing together. And thanking God for these young people who graduate from Bible college. Okay, let's go now. Back to Psalm 133. I think I have... let's see. Philemon... Sorry, just want to show you one verse in Philemon. Where do we have? Okay. What does it say? Oh, recognizing every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Philemon 6. Let the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I want to recognize every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. I said to my wife, Lisa, you really have amazing faith. She does. She has faith. She has great faith. So that's a communication to her and acknowledging something that is in her from Christ. You're going to say to a brother, do you know that all your sins have been forgiven you? All of them. Do you know that? Acknowledging who they are in Christ Jesus. Do you know that when you call on God, God hears you? What an honor. Do you know that? Do you realize who you are, what you have? Philemon 6 says that we acknowledge this, and it makes our communication effectual. We're talking about it. We are reinforcing it in each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote this: the Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. For by himself he cannot help himself without belying the truth. He needs his brother man as a bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation. He needs his brother solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his brother. His own heart is uncertain. His brother is sure. How about that? On a certain day, the Christ in me is, so to speak, is weak. I don't have the faith, or I need somebody to talk it into me. I need somebody to minister to me. And so that's what happens in body life. And then another time, I'm very strong in my faith and how I think. And I just say something that's very clear to me. I embrace it. I relate to it. I might say it, and it helps my brother and my sister. And of course, that's what God has ordained for the church, to have a pulpit. And that pulpit has that authority to have an impact in the life of another person. That's ordained of God. So let's go to the psalm, and we'll finish up here. Psalm 133. Having a hard time getting back and forth. Okay, here we go. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the unity. Now, the unity, if it is there, we can say it falls on us. It is in us. It is in our nature. We are one. Christ said, "As my Father and I are one, so you are one." And I studied that oneness of Christ with the Father in John 5 and enjoyed it a lot. I was thinking about how Jesus and the Father were one. That everything the Father did, Jesus did. There was amazing oneness between them. And then he said, the same oneness is with us. And that we have that oneness. That's ours. And that's why when we are living in it, it is good and pleasant. So let's write those two words down here. Good and pleasant. Now, what does that mean? Good and pleasant. Well, there are two metaphors that are used to describe what that means in the psalm. There are two of them that are describing it, so we will look at those here. Verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. This is in Exodus 29, when Aaron was anointed as priest. So the Holy Spirit says to us, that I want you to think about the Aaron, the high priest. He's a holy man, ordained of God, and he is before God as in an office as a servant, and he's anointed for that, and the oil comes down upon Aaron, his beard, and down to the bottom of his clothes. This is like brethren dwelling in unity. So we have here the oil. And we want to say a couple of things about oil. Oil makes your skin shine or glisten. Oil catches the sunlight, oil on your face, oil on your, like suntan lotion, maybe you could say, and you have a shine, and it's soft. It's a soft appearance, and number three, it has a fragrance. And this is beautiful for people. When people are not hard, not angular, you know, sharp corners, and hard and hurtful and tough, but the oil means that there's a softness, there's a shine, there's a fragrance, there's an anointing that is on my brother and on my sister, because it goes on the whole body of Aaron. Like, there is not a part of his body that is not anointed. Like, he doesn't have a hand or a finger or a part down at his feet that is not covered with oil. He is covered with oil. That means my brother and my sister is anointed of God as a priest to help me. That means that a Christian has a ministry of Christ to my heart. That means that Jesus in us is really the way we now live. And to be honest, sometimes there's silence. But it's a holy silence. Sometimes there's just a quiet word, but it helps me. It's soft. It's kind. It's gentle. It's peaceful. Behold how good and pleasant to sit in a room where my sisters and brothers and nobody is fighting. Nobody is angry. Nobody's like proving a point. Nobody is arrogant and egotistical. We are anointed and Christ is present with us and we recognize it. And we kind of just sit there. That's why through the decades of our ministry, many times when Pastor Stevens was here and other brothers and ministers, when we had an anointed fellowship and a rap session, and we just sat there and we just enjoyed. And I started in the ministry up in Maine in a farmhouse, in a union hall or a culture house or somebody's house or a donut shop. But it was so good and pleasant. It kept me. I wanted to be there. I wanted to go. I wanted to be with these people. I wanted to hear about faith. I wanted to talk about what Jesus is doing. I wanted to hear that God is for us and not against us. I wanted to hear a message. I wanted to get in the car with these people and be with them. It encouraged me. Now, the second metaphor is water. And this is in the last verse there. In verse 3, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. Now, this is water. Mount Hermon is 9,000 feet high. So at that altitude, when there's moisture in the air coming from the Mediterranean Sea, blowing east, that water that is in the air will hit the high mountains and condescend, condense. So if you slept on the ground up there at that altitude, you'd wake up soaking wet. You'd be covered with water. And what does that mean? Refreshing, clean, pure, real. You say, there's no water. There's no water there. There is. It's in the air. There's no Christ there. He is there. He is in the air. He is going to fall on you. He is going to fall on us in a meeting. He will fall on us in a prayer meeting. He will refresh in us when we are discouraged. How many times do you come to church and somehow there's something missing or you're troubled by something? Just leave it at the door and come in and just kind of just put on the worship attitude of faith. And that water will fall upon you and refresh in you and encourage you. And you say, yes, I can start again. Yes, I believe again. Yes, I believe God is for me. Yes, the Spirit of God is here. And that's what it's like when we dwell in unity. God has commanded, verse 3, the Lord has commanded a blessing, the blessing even life forevermore. That's what it's like. In closing, I am sorry to say there are many people that don't know it. They are troubled maybe in what we're with this category. I have personal reasons I cannot go. There is the institutionalized method of going to church and being there, that kind of thing. Maybe this one, people are difficult. I cannot afford to run the risk. And we're saying to you, there's something powerful about having our minds renewed and loving each other and knowing each other in Christ. Know no man after the flesh. Know who we are in Christ. And then as we live like that, we will be reinforced and encouraged by God. As oil was on Aaron and as water was on Mount Hermon, we'll be encouraged and we will say, I got to say, I used to think I'm a Christian, but I don't know. These people are kind of funny. I don't know. I just rather be by myself at home reading my Bible. And I understand that. Maybe you're wired like that, and that's what you. But I'm telling you, there's something that God made us not to be alone. He made us to be with each other. He made us to learn to live by faith and to think the right way with God. And as we find that, how good and how pleasant it is to dwell in that unity and find the freshness and the reality of Christ in our lives as a body. Amen. Oh boy, that could be preached many times, I think, huh? That's good. Very good. You're here this morning and you are saying in your heart, I need that. I need that. I want that in my life. I know it is there. I have it. I have it. I have it. But I've got to make an effort not to disappear. Be committed to be part of a fellowship where Christ is present and recognized, and we talk about it and think about it and love each other, and not think about a project to be fixed, but think about the value that we have in Him, the answer. And to come to Christ as you are. Will you trust in Him and believe in Him? Say to Jesus, come into my life, be my Savior. I trust you. Forgive me. And give me this reality, Lord, in my heart, in my life, and fellowship in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.